the politicians ready to speak to us this morning. I want to give you first shout, few of your calls. We'll go rapid fire. We'll go politicians. We'll go calls. We'll hear from Jonathan Bell later on. An extended Nolan show today. We're on air until 11 o'clock. Brendan and Yuri. Morning, Brendan.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Well, Stephen, there's a lot of facts and figures in the programme last night, and I know Jonathan Bell from being on a committee with him, and I was in a committee with him at a time when things were very frosty and aggressive.
You're a former Sinn Féin councillor, correct?
Right. And I don't recognise the Jonathan Bell that the First Minister spoke about last night. And a couple of things is the silence of the other parties. But, I mean, if Jonathan Bell was this monster, and I would be no cheerleader of Jonathan Bell, if he was this monster, an abuser, an aggressive person, what steps did the First Minister take to protect her staff, and in particular her female staff, as well as her male staff? Because to me, that will be the fact of whether or not Jonathan's telling lies or the minister's telling lies. But I certainly don't recognise Jonathan Bell as being aggressive. In fact, Jonathan Bell, in my experience, and as I said, I'd be no cheerleader, was always very witty, cordial and polite, even at robust times.
OK, Brendan, I'm going to have to fire through calls here. Aaron in London. Morning, Aaron.
Morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm going to ask you all to be quick today because this programme getting hundreds and hundreds of your calls.
Well, I'm sure you'll have enough people calling, taking sides. As far as I'm concerned, Jonathan Bell said last night, collective responsibility, I think they should all do. But the point I wanted to make, to be quick, is the electorate have to wake up and take some responsibility for this. They made their bed. Repeatedly, the people in power have been shown as not fit for purpose. You've got more on rednecks on one side, stuck in the past, terrorists on the other, with the past catching up with them constantly. Hopefully this will be a wake-up call for the electorate in Northern Ireland. We, New Year's Eve resolution, let's have a think who we're voting in, yeah?
Well, now, your description, you should not be using the word morons, should you? You know, come on, let's be respectful. And well, rednecks, and I don't even want to repeat it, let's be respectful to them. They've got a political mandate at the end of the day, Aaron.
Well, that's my concern, how they get in this mandate when they repeatedly fail the people of Northern Ireland. There's been repeated failures on both sides, and, you know, people have to do something about it the next election, whenever it comes around.
Aaron, thank you. Mark and Derry. Morning, Mark.
How are you doing? I was just thinking like a few points of this. At the start, who set it up? Why did they change it? I have had government contracts before.
Well, the whole point is, and you're going to hear from Jonathan Bell, and I put him under pressure too, because he was the minister in charge when a lot of the money was spent. But the scheme was set up without cost controls under Arlene Foster's watch. She was the minister.
What I'm saying is, the point is it was set up wrong. She's got the blame there.
Mark, thank you. Peter in Belfast. Peter, morning, Peter. Go on, Peter. Need you all to be quick this morning so we can get as many in as possible. Go on, Peter.
Stephen, I was listening to Sammy Wilson on this morning saying that the spads would not intimidate him. He would show them the door. If anybody came in and gave him advice to do something, he would show them the door because he was a minister and he had responsibility. I'm wondering, does that apply to Arlene Foster, given that she set up a scheme which she says was a good scheme that was badly administered? It wasn't even a good environmental scheme. And it cost a fortune. It was bad for the environment because people weren't burning gas. She said in her statements that people would transfer from gas. You didn't have to be using gas to get on this scheme. You could just start burning wood, which was more CO2 than in the air. So it was a bad scheme right the whole way through. And people didn't inform her. It was her scheme. Now, Sammy Wilson says the minister is responsible in respect of Jonathan Bell. But why is the minister not responsible in respect of Arlene Foster when she set this stupid scheme up?
What's your message to her?
Stephen, it's just the whole thing. Another point is too, do you know what she done? She turned around and said that she wanted to shut the thing down quicker. Jonathan Bell wanted to keep it open. On a sentence later, and go back on the tape and listen to it, she says that there were people that had invested money and should get the opportunity to get on the scheme. So it was either she wanted to shut it down or she wanted to keep it open, because it can't be both. You can't be saying that Jonathan Bell wanted to keep it open and she wanted to shut it down, and then also saying in the same breath that people have invested money and need a 10 grand their scheme.
Well, actually, you can have both, to be fair to her, because she wanted to give people who had already committed to be to an investment to have the room to be able to do it. There were also legal consequences, but to stop new people coming in. Thank you for your call, leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Mike Nesbitt. I told you, Mike, this would be explosive yesterday morning. I couldn't tell you what's in it. Now you've seen it.
Absolutely, and it was explosive and incredibly interesting, Stephen, but it is inconclusive because there are a lot more questions now arising. One of them is this: why did the department actually administer the scheme in the first place? Because I think Ofgem could have done it. There's certainly a history in the executive of using delivery partners, intermediate funders. They do it with Peace. They do it with the Social Investment Fund, so that may explain why they didn't do it in this case. There's the question also that there's a whole new front opened up by Mrs. Foster when she attacked Jonathan Bell and said many female colleagues felt intimidated by him. I don't want to get too deep into this, Stephen, because I think we're probably dancing close to defamation. But as a leader, surely Mrs. Foster has a duty of care to act rather than tolerate intimidation within her workforce.
Well, it must be said that Mr. Bell would emphatically deny the version of events that the First Minister has given. And indeed, he said at the time that he felt fear, that he felt that he was in a hostile environment.
Yeah, and I want to leave it there, Stephen, because I do think it is an incredibly serious allegation for Mrs. Foster to make. And if you're having Jonathan on, I'm sure you will give him the right of reply to that. Now, in terms of where we go next, when I got the leadership of the Ulster Unionist Party, wanted to know how the DUP ticks. And I made it my business to get close to Peter Robinson. We had many meetings in his offices at the Castle and at Stormont. And I can tell you, it was like hen's teeth walking into that room and finding another elected representative. Peter Robinson worked with Timothy Johnson and with Richard Bullock and with his special advisers. So when Jonathan Bell names the special advisers as being all-powerful, it has, to me, the absolute ring of truth. And that is why I'm calling on the chair of the Public Accounts Committee to widen their inquiry yet again. Yesterday, they named four politicians they want to hear from. Today, I am asking them to speak to Andrew Crawford, Stephen Brimston, Richard Bullock, Timothy Johnson, and Timothy Cairns, the latter being Jonathan Spad in the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Investment. I think it's incredibly important we hear from them. But the bottom line, Stephen...
Now, remember, special advisers, what they do, they advise. If they're senior special advisers, of course they advise. Of course they have opinions. Of course they have forceful opinions. Now, Jonathan Bell's going slightly further than that, and what he is suggesting happened. The special advisers deny it happened, but there's nothing wrong with a special advisor advising. That's what we're paying them to do.
Absolutely not. But what I am suggesting to you is that in my experience, and I did go out of my way to find out, to look with my own eyes, listen with my own ears, the advisers, the special advisers within the DUP run the party, including the department. And you will remember famously when Jenny Palmer was being hung out to dry by the DUP over the housing executive and Red Sky and all the rest. Stephen Brimstone, the special advisor who has since resigned, told her what? He told her the party comes first. Again, to me, from my experience, that has the ring of truth.
Jonathan Bell has called for a public inquiry. Do you think we need one?
I would like to see the Public Accounts Committee complete its work, because they're a long way down the road, although as each day and each revelation comes forward, we realise they still have a long way to go to get to the end game. The key to this, Stephen, is the evidence. It is the paperwork. Mrs. Foster, I've already pointed out, had an opportunity when she made the decision to extend the scheme to domestic appliances. She had an opportunity then to make a policy decision not to do that and to focus instead on putting in a cost control called digression.
Okay.
She elected not to do that. There's more than one whistleblower, Stephen, in my opinion. And in terms of the one you and she have been talking about, the key question to me is, how many emails did Mrs. Foster receive? Because I know Nigel Dodds latched onto one because it suited him a couple of days ago. I am convinced there are more, and we need to see them all.
Okay. Mike Nesbitt, thank you, leader of the TUV, Jim Allister. Your reaction, Mr. Allister?
Well, having heard the full Arlene Foster interview this morning, I must say I thought it was woeful. I think she has greatly diminished herself, because the mantra constantly was, when in any difficulties, to blame anyone and everyone else, and particularly officials. Yet she's the person who's told us time and time again that officials advise and ministers decide.
Well, Arlene Foster says she's making herself accountable. She did not duck an interview with me. She invited me up to Stormont Castle last night. She's putting herself in front of the Public Accounts Committee. She's not running away. You cannot say she is.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying she's running away from her responsibility in 2012, because that's the most seminal moment of all of this. When this runaway scheme was brought in, she was the person, as minister, who signed it off. She was the person who consciously and deliberately decided there wouldn't be cost controls. And we're all now paying.
That's the advice she was given.
Well, there you go, you see. When it suits, it's officials' advice. It's their responsibility. When it doesn't, ministers decide. When there's a photo opportunity, not about officials, it's about ministers. When there's good news, it's about ministers. But when there's bad news, it's the officials' fault. It's the consultant's fault. It's someone else. I think by that interview and that attempt, she greatly diminished herself. And I think also the character assassination that she initiated in respect of Jonathan Bell also greatly diminishes her. And this is a saga which I think does very few people any credit, but certainly not the First Minister.
You know
I think also she was ducking and diving about the autumn of 2015. Because remember, in autumn 2015, Peter Robinson had stood aside. She was acting First Minister when the allegations are made in September, October. She was also Finance Minister, and it is the spad of her acting First Minister in that period and her spad in finance at that period who are alleged by Jonathan Bell to have sought to throw their weight around, as they do day and daily. They are the enforcers in the political system, and they are mightily powerful, as I think.
Well, those spads you're referring to would deny they're throwing their weight anywhere. They would say that they are advising, not influencing. You know the inner workings, Jim Allister, of the DUP. What will they have been like when they were watching Jonathan Bell last night? What will be happening within that party now?
Oh, they will be plotting a mode to get rid of Bell as quickly as possible, to vilify him. That's why the character assassination has started. Jonathan Bell's not a perfect individual. None of us are. But to hear the sort of thing the First Minister was so anxious and eager to say about him today, and likewise Sammy Wilson, I think it's quite clear that this person who, till a very short time ago, was their close colleague, this is now how they wish to treat him. I think it says probably more about them than it does about Jonathan Bell.
Okay, 030-3080-5555. May and Ballyclare. Morning, May.
Morning.
Go ahead, May.
Listen, I listened to Arlene last night and I listened again to her this morning. And the running theme through her replies were, I passed it on. If she were Minister of Finance or Minister of Agriculture, fair enough. She deals with that department and that department alone. She's First Minister of this country, so she has to have her finger in every pie. She has to see that everything's working right. And yet all she comes off with, I passed it on. No, I didn't read the letter, I passed it.
No, well, she wasn't the First Minister at that stage, was she?
I know, but still, she's First Minister now.
It factually remains that she's First Minister now and she has not yet asked about the delay in closing the scheme. That's what we revealed last night. Joe and Derry, morning, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Stephen. I was, very astonished last night to learn during your programme that there was the lack of financial control that went into the scheme, the lack of audit that was carried out on the scheme. And, you know, as a member of the voting public of Northern Ireland, I believe that Arlene Foster should stand down during the investigation. And I believe that the investigation should be carried out thoroughly by those who do not have a conflict of interest. And should the findings reveal wrongdoing, all those found to have played a part should be dealt with.
Joe, thank you. The leader of the SDLP, Colm Eastwood, with us now. We will hear from Sammy Wilson from the DUP after 10 this morning. This is a special Nolan Show extended programme. We're on air until 11 o'clock. We've had an investigation team across this story. We promised you 7 days ago we would start digging into this. We were here day and night in a BBC office, and this is the outworking of it. Leader of the SDLP, Colm Eastwood, your reaction to this, Colm?
Well, there was a lot on your show last night, Stephen, and even more this morning. But we have to maintain our focus. We cannot be distracted by arguments between Arlene Foster and Jonathan Bell. The fact remains, Arlene Foster designed this scheme in a different way to the scheme in Britain. She made a conscious decision to make this a much more lucrative scheme. Back last autumn time, early autumn time, we now have allegations that her spads from the Office of First Minister were trying to influence or advise or whatever language you want to use, that this scheme remained open. Then we saw a huge spike, and we still don't know who benefited during that spike. That is the key question around all of this, and we have been saying now for a number of days, unless we get to that truth, unless all of this is put out in the open, the credibility of these institutions is shot. And Arlene Foster, if she wants to do the right thing around this, she should step aside, as we've asked her to time and time again, step aside and allow this investigation.
Well, she says her priority is now trying to get the commitment of spending our money back. She's going to work to try to reduce the load in the public purse.
Well, it's a bit late now, Stephen. She should have been thinking about that in 2012 when she designed this scheme differently to that in Britain.
Yeah, but they also should have been thinking about that in September. You know as a politician that you do rely on advisers. You know that you rely on people to be across the brief and to give it to you as a minister, and she says she didn't get it.
She made a conscious decision to set up a different scheme to that in Britain. That is the key point. We also know that it's now alleged, and I think we'll find out when these papers are released, that SPADs were operating in a way that is very strange. They were trying to influence Jonathan Bell to keep this scheme open. Who were they acting on behalf of? They are very powerful, but they're acting on behalf of their minister at all times. That is what people always understand that the SPAD is doing. We can no longer go on like this. Arlene Foster needs to step aside, as do these SPADs. We need to have a full inquiry. I now believe we need to go beyond the Public Accounts Committee and have a public inquiry into all of this so the public can regain some confidence in our institutions. It is that serious. Arlene Foster needs to put the institutions ahead of herself and step aside until all of this is investigated properly.
We're talking about these special advisers. We should be giving their position this morning. Let's do that right now. Timothy Johnson is the most senior of the special advisers referred to at the time. He was the adviser to the First Minister. He points out that for the majority of that period, that was Peter Robinson. Mr Johnson denies that he ever attempted to influence decisions relating to the healing scheme, including any attempt to keep the scheme at the higher tariff against the wishes of the then Minister Jonathan Bell. Mr Johnson also states he never sought to alter or delete records or emails relating to the scheme. Andrew Crawford then, who at the time was the special advisor in the Department of Finance, prior to joining the Finance Department, remember Andrew Crawford worked alongside Arlene Foster in the Department of Enterprise for a number of years. Mr Crawford says he did have discussions with his successor at the Enterprise Department offering informal advice and assistance, but not on behalf of the Finance Minister. He also denied ever seeking to keep the scheme open at the higher tariff against the wishes of the Minister. In fact, he points out he was never aware that the then Minister, Jonathan Bell, had expressed a view on the scheme. Conor Murphy from Sinn Féin, do you still have confidence in Arlene Foster to be working alongside Martin McGuinness as your partners in government?
I've never expressed confidence as a Republican. I've never expressed confidence in the DUP as a party. We work with them because that's the way the electoral system throws up the arrangement for government. You either work who's elected from the other side or you don't go into government and the institutions fall. But last night's programme, I think, has just added to the number of questions, but also to the sense of public anger and exasperation around all of this. And what we need to do is to get, and I agree with Colm in this regard, we need to get a proper inquiry which will get to the truth of these matters in a very quick way in which it has access to all the information it needs and which restores public confidence and brings to account those who need to be brought to account in relation to this. And wherever those chips fall, how high they go, people need to be held to account for this. So our focus has been and continues to be on that. Ever since this news story broke back in February, actually, when it came in front of the committee, our focus has been on getting an investigation into this and ensuring that it gets to its proper.
Do you think we need a public inquiry? That's what Jonathan Bell has asked for, a judge-led public inquiry.
Yeah, well, I listened to Michelle Gildenew yesterday speaking at the Public Accounts Committee, and she referred to this, that she felt the Public Accounts Committee couldn't do its job. Then we do need some independent process. The question is how we establish that.
Should that be a public inquiry?
Yeah, Well, that's yes, whatever form it takes, people say a public inquiry. What does that actually mean? And we, if we do need an independent process, there are commissions of inquiry that operate in the Dáil.
Well, Conor, here's what it means. It means that it's a process that is independent.
Yes.
It means that it would be judge-led, if that's what Jonathan Bell is suggesting. You concur with that, do you?
And somebody has to...
Do you concur with that?
Somebody has to appoint it, set its remit, set its time.
Okay, but to be precise, of course. Do you concur with that?
Yes, no, I'm saying to you, and I know we're short in time here, I'm saying to you that we're quite prepared to look at any avenue, and we've already said that to the Public Accounts Committee.
Including a public inquiry?
Yes, including that, to get to that stage. And I know our team will meet tomorrow to discuss all of these issues again. Our leadership and all of our MLA team will meet tomorrow to discuss all of these issues and bring together all the information we have. And we will be quite certain that we will continue, as we have been doing, to ensure that we get to the heart of this matter, and those who are responsible will be held to account and have no part in a future government if the behaviour that was alluded to last night has begun on. People like that have no part in government.
Conor Murphy, Colm Eastwood, thank you. Jim and Macrofield. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I said to one of your researchers, I was employed in a managerial position, and if something went wrong, it was me who had to answer for it. Arlene Foster, like the President of America, had a plaque on his desk which read, "The buck stops here." You can't take on the mantle of leadership without taking the bad with the good.
Jim, thank you. Stephen, morning, Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I was always led to believe that senior civil servants were the chief advisors to the minister and not SPADs. Mrs. Thatcher brought in SPADs in towards the end of her career, and it was widely disagreed among her cabinet colleagues and, of course, the senior civil servants. Right? The chief civil servants are the chief advisors to ministers, not SPADs. And if these people want paid, and I don't often agree with Jim Allister, is that they should be paid out of the party purse and not the public purse. Many thanks.
Thank you very much. Morning to you.